benefits that contribute to the quality of life in our community, this is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
And you are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Welcome to the Access Hour, where each week WORT offers you the opportunity to fly your program over the radio. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not necessarily represent the views of the station, its staff, its programmers, or the board of directors. But let's now begin our next foray into the freest form program on the WORT schedule. The Access Hour.
Hello, I'm Dr. Katie Hilst, and I'm here today with Dr. Laura Purdy, and we're from Journeys Home Pet Euthanasia. And we're here today to talk a little bit about pet quality of life, and also offer that if anybody has a question about their pet, please feel free to call in. The phone number is 608-256-2001. Dr. Laura, what would you like to say?
I just want to welcome everyone for taking some time to tune in to us this evening. We're hoping to talk a little bit about quality of life and end-of-life care for pets in the community. Katie, I don't know if you want to speak a little bit about quality of life to start?
Sure. We have a quality of life scale that we use called the Journeys Quality of Life Scale, and it encompasses 8 different quality of life concerns with elderly pets and pets. The first is J, which stands for jumping or mobility. And a lot of our senior pets may have arthritis, they may have nerve problems or spinal problems that make them not able to be comfortable and jump and walk easily. So we have that on the scale.
And one thing I think with that kind of jumping and mobility is we sometimes just see there's maybe not a huge change in their ability to walk, but maybe in the frequency of their walks or their frequency of their playing. So they may be spending more of that time resting rather than moving around, even if while they're walking, they may not be exhibiting a huge change. So I always point that out.
And I think a lot of time cats are a little bit more difficult to judge with mobility. And our senior cats do have arthritis, and they can get arthritis in their back and spine. And that inhibits them from being able to jump up on high surfaces like they used to do when they were younger. So if you see a cat spending less and less time on their perch on their cat tree or jumping up on the couch, you may know that something is affecting their mobility.
Yep, definitely.
The next quality of life concern that we talk about with the quality of life scale is O, and that stands for ouch or pain. And many of our pets can benefit from pain medication, and that can help control their pain. There's many different types of pain medication that can be formulated into treats for cats and dogs. Yeah. And it can really help help our seniors feel quite a bit better.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say this is a huge, huge question that comes up really frequently when we're talking to pet owners in the community. How do we know that a pet is in pain? And for each pet, that's probably going to present a little bit different. Each pet is going to have different cues. But certainly, it's never really necessarily a bad idea to talk with your veterinarian about what options are for pain control to see if there may be a way to make your pet more comfortable if you're worried or concerned about sort of their discomfort as they're going through their life.
And a lot of times with pain medication, if we can get that pet comfortable, they're going to be able to exercise and move and use their muscles more. And that then can also help alleviate arthritis pain. So controlling that pain and preventing that pain really helps the animal move and feel better. And then as a byproduct of that, become more healthy.
Yeah, it's a positive cycle. The things can kind of build on each other, just like how when things kind of start to deteriorate, it can do the opposite effect. Things can slow down a little bit more. They're less active, and that can kind of feed into it. So we want to keep things kind of on a positive track for our pets at end of life.
The U in the Journeys Quality of Life Scale stands for uncertainty and understanding. And this is more related to the pet owner than the pet themselves. That would be a diagnosis that is confusing, that you may not understand, a medical condition that might be prone to sudden catastrophic events. That would be something that you would score very lowly on the scale. And just, you know, the pet owner's ability to understand what's going on. And sometimes pets have conditions that we don't know what's going on. Maybe they've been to the vet and had multiple tests done, and those tests haven't been conclusive. So we're kind of operating in the dark with trying to treat the pet and getting them to feel better.
Definitely. I would say, yeah, there's those two components of uncertainty. Sometimes there's uncertainty on what's causing the issue or causing that disease process and those quality of life symptoms we're seeing. And sometimes we know why we're seeing those signs due to a disease, but we're not sure how things are going to go forward. So there's that uncertainty on whether it's going to be a sudden decline or a more slow decline. So all of that, both of those play a huge factor in kind of how we score that component.
The R in the Journeys Quality of Life Scale stands for respiration or breathing. And this is a big deal. I think that respiratory distress and the inability to get a breath in is scary and debilitating, and almost worse than pain is for a pet. A pet would score low if they can't breathe, if they're coughing a lot. With cats especially, if you see a cat panting, that is always a very bad sign, and it means that something is going on, and you need to get that pet seen right away.
Definitely. Yeah, I would agree. I think respiratory distress, it's certainly one of the more challenging issues to deal with at end of life for people or animals. And there's this added component of not being able to explain to a pet why they're having that inability to catch their breath. So I think that's always really important to keep in mind. Things that we see sometimes are an increase in respiratory rate, even at rest, in addition to signs like open mouth breathing or panting, like Katie alluded to.
And I forgot to mention also that when a pet really has that air hunger and they're having a hard time breathing, they're going to limit their activity. Mm-hmm. So their world gets smaller and smaller. A dog that would normally go out and play in the yard is just going to go out, pee, poop, come back in the house, not going to want to go out on walks. And then, you know, they get to the point where they're really having difficulty breathing. So they're going to just want to stay in one place. So a pet that is not really getting up and moving, they may be having respiratory issues.
Definitely. And I would say, too, that when we're seeing a pet with respiratory trouble, sometimes they will have times where they can breathe quite easily, especially when they're at rest or sleeping. And then at other times, depending on their disease process, that respiratory stress can be quite acute and they can be in distress about it. So we'll have a waxing and waning with a lot of disease processes rather than them always being in respiratory distress or always being comfortable. So it is something that will go up and down over time.
The next quality factor is N for neatness or hygiene, and that is when kitties stop grooming. Perhaps they're unable to clean themselves, they can't get to the litter box. A lot of times elderly dogs may not be able to get up and down, may not be able to posture to urinate or defecate. And if you can't keep your pet clean, then that hygiene problem may lead to, you know, skin infections and things like that. I think we're going to be talking a little bit more about the hygiene when we come back. Again, please feel free to give a call. The phone number is 608-256-2001. Feel free to call with a question about your pet or to pledge to WORT. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much to our fabulous show guests for joining us tonight on our special edition Pledge Wrapping Showtime. I'm Amy. I am really happy to be here to enthusiastically ask all of you out there in Listen Land to join us in supporting WORT by calling in now 608-256-2001 to share your pledge with us. Help keep the station on the air and help yourself continue learning wonderful things from guests like we have on tonight. The Access Hour is a special gem, and we are happy to present you each week with something different. And Adrian has been a fabulous new addition to the Access Hour, volunteering with us as well.
Thank you so much. Yes, I am part producer, part board operator now, helping out Ken, who has been, how long has Ken been doing the show?
Oh, years. Shout out to Ken Rainier. We love you.
Hi, Ken.
Many years.
Yeah, like over a decade at least.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, it's amazing to learn so much from him and just to be a part of the Wart family. It's been really great. Everyone's so accepting, and the Access Hour is so unique. Meeting different members of the mass and public, giving them the ability to come on and share their messages. I've heard a lot of things from a lot of people I never knew about before.
Oh, yeah. It's both educational and also pretty entertaining sometimes.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. We've got some live music that comes on. Sometimes we've got people reading poetry or their other writings. There's a lot that I also learn about different organizations in town that have services that support our community, just like WORT supports the community with news and entertainment. So call in now, 256-2001, to share your support for WORT. We have a modest goal. We are doing our best to meet and pulling our weight here at the station. And we have some fabulous Pledge Drive thank you gifts that if you call in now or pledge online, WORTFM.org, we can share some information with you. I'm really excited about the new t-shirt design. It's really funky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As somebody who, as a hobby, gathers band merch. It's a great new addition to the wardrobe that's not technically a band, but, you know, it's a great, like, local, unique piece of clothing. And for me, like, any shirt I wear needs to say something.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Make your statement about WORT with our fabulous new t-shirt. And often we also have other things like a pint glass or coffee mug that has the WORT logo. 256-2001 to share your love for WORT in glass, in t-shirt, and in money. So we also have the opportunity to make those donations very regular and very, you know, predictable donations through our Evergreen donor program. That's something that I do, I know personally, and it's really easy and predictable for the station too. And I can adjust it as needed, up or down, depending on what my income is now.
Yeah, that's what's great about the Evergreen Pledge. And also, as people give to WORT, WORT gives back in ways like the Access Hour, mm-hmm. like the WORT local news, Monday, Friday, 6 to 7 p.m.
I've been learning so much from the local news. I value them tremendously. There's just not other outlets that are going to cover some of these topics.
No, exactly. I've learned about many organizations from the WORT local news. Actually, I believe an Access Hour, not last week, but the week before, somebody decided to give a pledge.
Oh, you are correct. We have our first pledger to thank. We got an early pledge. Thank you so much for that. We thank Jake, and his show was fabulous, and he just decided to share his appreciation for WORT with a pledge before he left. He was speaking a lot about addiction. We've had some really serious topics on the Access Hour mm-hmm. this year, folks supporting people who are going through addictions and suicide prevention as well. We really try to bring you some good entertainment and good community-supported information.
Yes, exactly. And we also have things like tickets to what is this? It's Monkey Time with Mel and Mr. Smarty Pants.
That looks so funny.
And it's the taping of their live show. and a co-host showdown version of the Not So Newlywed game plus audience Q&A. And that just sounds fun to me.
It sounds super fun.
So with a pledge of, it looks like $50, those tickets could be yours.
Yes. Call in now and support WORT for this and other fine premia, 256-2001.
All right. And now back to the Access Hour.
Thanks, guys. For those just tuning in, my name is Dr. Laura Purdy, and I have Dr. Katie Hilst with me today. We were just kind of chatting through the PET quality of life scale that we have and use, and we were about in the middle of it talking about hygiene. And like Dr. Katie mentioned, hygiene is something that comes up pretty frequently when we're talking about kitties. One of the first cues that people notice that maybe something is not quite right is they'll notice a decrease in their pets or their kitties grooming, either on certain areas of their body or all over. In dogs, we don't see that grooming quite as much, but we do see sometimes a decrease in hygiene as their ability to get up, use the bathroom, get outside appropriately, and not keeping that hygiene level up at the level we want it to be. We can see some repercussions from that. So we can see mats sometimes pop up on kitties that aren't grooming. Secondary infections, things like that. So we do always want to take hygiene into account when we're thinking about quality of life for our pets.
And hygiene also comes into play if a pet has an external tumor or mass that's bleeding and ulcerated. Perhaps it's someplace on the body that can't easily be bandaged or be kept clean. And then it also comes into play with, especially with our larger breed dogs, if they are incontinent, and sometimes that does happen, or if they're laying a lot on one side or the other, they can get bed sores, especially on their hip bone area, and those can come into play and be difficult to treat and to keep clean as well. So hygiene is pretty important for a good quality of life. The next item on the quality of life scale is eating and drinking, and I think this is probably the easiest one for pet owners to really understand, know, and be able to figure out where their pet lies. Obviously, eating and drinking is important. We can see sometimes elderly pets not be as hungry and not want to eat as much, or they may just become pickier. A pet that would previously eat their regular dog or cat food will start to turn their nose up at food, but still then want to eat treats, or maybe will want to eat chicken and rice or hamburger and rice or some other good food. Eating and drinking can also come into play if a pet has something going on with them where they're unable to keep food and water down and they're vomiting quite a bit. So that can be an issue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Dr. Katie is right that it's one of the most sort of clear-cut quality of life indicators for cases when a pet has completely stopped eating. But there can be a lot of gray area in that, certainly. And certain pets, it seems like, will continue to eat in the face of a lot of other really huge and significant quality of life concerns. So just because a pet is eating doesn't mean that everything about their life is necessarily okay. I think I know there are a lot of labs. I have a golden retriever that will eat and eat and eat through a lot of different issues. But certainly we want to keep track of that as well when we're thinking about quality of life.
And then the Y in the Journey's Quality of Life Scale stands for you. And this quality of life scale is a little different in that it takes the pet family into the human members into account in addition to the pet, because you are their caretaker, you are their friend, their companion. You make sure that they're fed and you take care of all of their needs. And you would score low on this scale if you're constantly worried about your pet, if you don't understand what's happening, if you feel overwhelmed and stressed, and that can be a stress in terms of not having enough time to care for your pet, having to go to work and worrying about what's going to happen to your pet during the course of the day, and if you can't get back home to check on them. And it can also be financial stress, because sometimes pets require, you know, a lot of care and treatment that may be costly. So it's really important, as you as the primary caretaker take into account how you're feeling and how you're doing. Some people are lucky that they've got other family members mm-hmm. or other friends that are pet lovers or pet sitters and pet walkers that can help take that burden of care from them. But some of us aren't so lucky or may live in an area that's too far out to be able to have people come to the home.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a component that a lot of us maybe don't want to talk about or admit, but it's definitely very important. And we can certainly go into how like that human-animal bond that you have with your pet is so important at end of life, and that that includes you in all of that. We definitely do find that we want to take into account your ability to care for your pet and your ability to keep that strong bond with your pet. The example that we see sometimes is pets developing cognitive dysfunction. So they may not be aware of what's going on with things. So we need to make sure you're able to continue to care for them in situations like that.
And speaking of cognitive dysfunction, that kind of rolls into the S in the Journeys quality of life scale, which is social ability. A lot of times when pets don't feel good, they tend to want to isolate and go someplace out of the stream of traffic. They don't really want to be bothered. They might become more irritable or snippy. And in a pet that normally loves to be around people, that can be a big sign that something's not right. With social ability, again, also goes cognitive dysfunction. And a lot of times we see with these pets, we'll see a change in personality. We may see disturbance in sleep-wake cycles. So you may see an animal mm-hmm. that is up a lot at night and then sleeping all day, and that can disrupt the family's routine. And it is very difficult to get up multiple times a night to care for a pet. You may see, you know, dogs that need to be let out in the middle of the night. You might see pacing. That is a big yeah. sign that there's something not quite right going on in their little brains, where you'll see pets, I mean, just literally pacing, and they start to lose weight because they're pacing so much and moving so much.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a situation that we see pretty commonly, but it's kind of hard to necessarily put a finger on if it's not something that you've experienced before. So with that pacing, there will be the word I use is restlessness, and a lot of pet parents can kind of relate to that. Their pet is taking the same track around the kitchen or the home or the living room. They're sort of not engaging or interacting with the family. They seem almost in their own little world sometimes. And I do think that a pet that was used to being very engaged and interactive with you, it can be hard on them quality of life-wise, emotionally and mentally, to not be able to engage with you the way that they used to be able to.
And I think sometimes you'll also see pets sort of becoming lost and mm-hmm. not really sure where they're at. So you may end up finding them in very odd places, places they wouldn't normally be. They might be staring at a corner of the wall, or they may get stuck underneath a chair, like a table, kitchen table chair. So you'll see just unusual behavior, and that can all be signs of cognitive dysfunction.
Yeah, and I'd say we see it more in dogs, but certainly we definitely hear of cases in kitties as well. And it's just sort of knowing your pet's normal routine and normal interaction and then seeing if there are deviations from that normal routine. Definitely, we want to pay attention to that.
And so, again, the phone number here is 608-256-2001. If you would like to call in and ask Dr. Laura or myself any pet-related questions, we would welcome that. We would also love it if you would pledge to the wonderful people at WORT. You can call 608-256-2001. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It is so great to have people on the Access Hour providing really important information like this. I have a dog, and it's just good to be aware, honestly.
For sure.
So we have another pledge. I can't reach the bell. Oh, thank you.
I'll help you out there.
This is from Ken Longquist, who loves the Access Hour. He actually wrote a play called Old Bafana. He is a local children's musician. Apparently, we would play Old Bafana on the Access Hour.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Little before my time, I think.
Yeah.
But I just, since we got this pledge in, a lot of people around the station are already talking about it. So
Ken Rainier likes to tell that story, too. It's fun. Our other engineer for the Access Hour. Thank you, Ken Longquist.
Thank you so much, Ken.
We appreciate that a lot. And I actually also have a pledger to thank.
Yay!
We got an online pledge. Thank you to Ellis. Thank you so much for your generous donation to the Access Hour and WORT. And you can join Ken and Ellis and Jake and make your pledge now at 256-2001 or online at wortfm.org.
That's right. And what are some of your favorite shows on WORT besides the Access Hour, obviously?
I do like Mel and Floyd and Entertainment, and I'm sure they'll fight about it, and it's always amusing during the pledge drive rivalries. I really like to listen to Pan Africa as well. I've been enjoying some of the new reggae and tropical jams.
Nice.
From our new folks coming in as well. So that's been really fun. And Rockin' John is just a classic.
I was going to say Rockin' John, too. Actually, my partner, Andy, can do a spot-on impression of him.
Oh, man, that's super impressive.
It is wonderful, and I wish I could bring him in now to do it on the air.
Oh, well, maybe, you know, for the WORT birthday party in December,
oh,
you could get those two together.
That's
another
good idea.
Fabulous way to support WORT, as well as calling in now, 608-256-2001 for your pledge to support this station. I also really love Something Wonderful, the show that comes on right after this one.
You're stealing all my shows from me. I was going to say that, too.
Ah.
Yeah, Ryan Parks is great.
Fabulous, fabulous show. Thank you for all the wonderful music and all the wonderful news that you hear here at WORT. I also really appreciate some of the specific news shows that we get, like Query. It's just been really important to focus on news specifically affecting one group. And I really like turning on the radio and hearing a different language than mine.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And WORT supports Spanish and Hmong language shows. And it's a really nice thing to have out in the community. 256-2001 if you also appreciate the diversity of news and music and information you get from WORT.
And for $40, you could get Democracy in Print, the best of the progressive magazine from 1909 to 2009. Wow.
Oh, nice.
That's a long span there. Also, you could get Birds of Wisconsin.
I gave that as a gift for the holidays to
yeah.
my mom, and she loved it. So Owen Grammy, who is the person who created that book,
mm-hmm.
is a fabulous, well-known bird artist.
No wonder if they mention, what was his name? The coffee shop I go to at work is named after him. Aldo.
Oh.
Who? Oh, he was this amazing professor.
Oh, Aldo Leopold? No.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This professor who was all about environmental conservation, who
for
basically
sure.
started.
Yeah, he's
started
legendary.
That department. Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
So I'm kind of wondering if he would be mentioned in this book, but I guess you will know if you pledge $40 and ask for the Birds of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know, Wisconsin really does have a great environmental support legacy. And we've had so much renewal of energy around climate change that we've had mm-hmm. some great news stories around and support from the station. I'm really hoping that we are able to continue our support for the station. Just imagine the sad hole in your airwaves if WART was not on the air any longer, and how much information that you get here that you don't get other places, including the BBC mm-hmm. and Democracy Now. It just helps you remain an informed citizen. Call in now, 256-2001.
And now, back to the Access Hour.
And thank you. Again, I'm Dr. Katie Hilst, and I'm here today with Dr. Laura Purdy. We're from Journeys Home Pet Euthanasia, and we just completed a discussion about the Journeys Quality of Life Scale. I will talk a little bit now about kind of watchful waiting, and that's sort of the period in our pet's life when they're sort of past their senior years and we know that they have got a debilitating medical condition or that the end is near. So some of the things that we can be fearful of during that time frame is we can be fearful for our pet of a catastrophic event. We can worry that they may have a seizure, have pain, not be able to breathe, and have a catastrophic event when we are not home. Another fear that we can have is that our pet is suffering, and that's why we like to use that quality of life scale to sort of try and quantify when our pet isn't doing well. Is our pet in pain? Is our pet having a hard time breathing? Are they weak and debilitated? Are they able to get up and move freely?
Definitely. I think too, you know, we talk about what we're afraid of, and I think there are fears of letting a pet go too early, and then there are the fears of letting a pet go too late. And like Dr. Katie talked about, there can be an unexpected or urgent situation that arises. So certainly we take that into account when we are doing this watchful waiting stage of things.
Yes, many people worry about letting their pet go when the pet may have one more good day left. Mm-hmm. And then others worry that they may wait one day too long and that their pet will suffer in that last day. Another fear that we hear from people is that they are afraid their pet isn't ready to go, or they will be mad at us for making that decision. They worry that their pet isn't ready to go or will be upset with them for deciding upon humane euthanasia. And then in my experience, I feel sometimes pet owners are projecting their own fears about the dying process, death, and afterlife upon the pets when they worry about this. My own kitty was ready to leave her body that wasn't working right anymore, causing her pain, and she wasn't able to do things that she could control and didn't like. It is, you know, one of those things that we worry about towards the end.
Yeah, definitely. I think Katie touched on a really good point in that we have a lot of fears for our pets at end of life and also for ourselves. But certainly, I think about the fact that these pets are very much living in the present moment, and they don't necessarily have a fear of missing out on something in the future, the same way that we do. So we take their present quality of life and what their future quality of life looks like into account when we're trying to navigate this decision-making process.
And then another fear people have is what happens during the euthanasia process. So I'll just briefly discuss what we do as part of our euthanasia process to make the pet feel the most relaxed and most comfortable and make it the easiest for the pet owner as well. When we come to the home, we give a combination of a sedative to help the pet relax, a morphine-like pain reliever, just to make sure that they are not experiencing any pain, and a general anesthetic to the pet. This is all administered together in a single injection that goes just under the skin.
Many pets don't notice it, but it is a short injection, and it usually takes anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes to absorb and take effect. Once this injection takes effect, the pet is under anesthesia and they are comfortably asleep. So they are not awake. They are not aware mm-hmm. of anything else. If the pet is still interested in food and able to eat, a lot of times they fall asleep comfortably eating kitty treats or licking squeezed cheese. And once the pet is asleep and the family's ready, then we would go ahead with the second injection, which is the euthanasia injection. But the pet will be completely unaware of this. Their last memory will be of the family that they love and being with them.
So we do have a question from someone in the audience. So I'm going to go ahead and read that out loud. So do you find it harder emotionally for the pet owner to let the pet pass on at home or at the vet? So I don't know, Katie, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it really depends on the pet owner. I think that being at home, the pet is more comfortable because they're in familiar surroundings. I know personally with my two dogs, I lost them both last summer, but one of them didn't mind going to the vet, loved the attention. The other one shook the whole time we were there, even though I was holding him in my arms. So some pets are afraid of the vet. A lot of cats, unfortunately, don't travel real well, so mm-hmm. that car ride to the vet can really be stressful for them. On the other hand, though, if a pet owner, you know, does not want to be at home or feels like that would make them uncomfortable, we can certainly meet them at, if it's nice out, we can meet them at a park or an outside
a
venue,
location.
Or we can also meet them at a comfort room at Memorial Pet Services. So that is an option as well if they don't feel comfortable having the pet euthanized at home. A lot of times, pet owners would rather be at home because then they can grieve in the comfort of their own home. They don't have that drive to the vet clinic and then that drive home, and they don't have to walk out into the vet clinic waiting area after they've lost their pet and have other people see their emotions. That can be a difficult time for folks.
Yeah, definitely. I think Dr. Katie hit on some really good points. I will add, for some pet families that I've talked to, there is this fear of always associating a certain location with the passing of a pet. I've heard that discussed before, which is why we do offer those kind of alternative or neutral locations. But in general, it seems like, and I know it's true for me, when my pet is more comfortable, I'm more comfortable. When my pet is relaxed, I'm more relaxed, and I'm able to sort of focus on the things that matter, which is being present with my pet. I'm not being pulled in too many different directions. And so in a lot of cases, that being at home and having that sort of beautiful memory of being able to send them off when they're relaxed, like Katie said, sometimes with some yummy stuff. I've seen a Culver's Butter Burger be a beautiful send-off a time or two. That can make it a little bit emotionally easier if we know that the pet is as comfortable as possible.
I agree. If anybody else has a question or would like to call in, please feel free to give us a call. The phone number here is 608-256-2001.
Perfect. Yeah, definitely. So I think what we'll do, kind of to springboard off of Dr. Katie talking about some fears around kind of end of life and that waiting process, sometimes we feel like waiting is a sort of neutral position, but really when we are waiting, there are some costs associated with that, just like there are costs and situations associated with making the choice to help a pet with passing. So there are kind of, like we've touched on in quality of life, some physical components to the cost of waiting, physical for you and physical for your pet. So certainly we talk about good days and bad days, and your pet may have more good days than bad days, but we may reach a point where those bad days are becoming more severe or more frequent, and they're taking more of a physical toll on our pets. Some of those things can be that respiratory distress, that pain or nausea, not wanting to eat. So certainly we always want to think about that consideration when we're talking about the waiting portion of deciding on end of life. So we'll talk about that more, but for now, we're going to send it over for another pledge break.
You're listening to The Access Hour here on WORT. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not represent the views of the station, its staff, programmers, or the board of directors.
Hey, it is Amy back to ask for your support. 256-2001, call in now to make a pledge to WORT. Thank you so much to our show guests tonight and all of our past show guests. We are really appreciating what we're learning tonight, and I hope that you out there in listener land are also appreciating what you're learning on this show and in past shows. 256-2001, call us up now and let us know. Support the station with your pledge.
That's right, and I just wanted to go back to other great shows on WORT. One of my favorites is Who Cooks For You, which is on Friday, I believe from 2 to 4, with The Real Jaguar. And there's always such an interesting mix of music that he brings on his show. And I think he does the segment of the earthquake news.
Oh,
I think it's just random earthquakes around the world that he'll just mention and report on. So there's fun stuff like that, depending on how you look at earthquakes, I suppose.
Sure. You know, specific information you're not getting elsewhere, right? Like the wildlife report.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Who Cooks For You is great. I've actually, I got into the Blue Mountain Goats, I think it was, or maybe I'm confusing that band, but I have definitely Shazammed quite a few songs from my phone.
Playing on Mort?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that the app that you can use to identify what the song artist is that's coming out of your,
yep,
your airwaves?
Yep.
Excellent. That's super fun and handy. I actually was also just telling Ryan Parks for Something Wonderful that because of music that I heard on his show, I chose that for a dance piece that I was doing, and it was a great piece with wonderful people that I got to do at the Union Theater as part of.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, with Cycropia Aerial Dance. And so it was just exactly the right tone that I was looking to express with the piece at the time, and it was because I heard it here on Something Wonderful. So, you know, it's really beautiful that we take the artistic experiences we have here and we can bring them out into the world and make more art.
Well, yeah. Them. Yeah. Especially on that same note, I heard a song on Something Wonderful, and again, I Shazammed it. And the band is coming to the Majestic, I believe, in December, and or maybe it's January, but I'm getting tickets. I'm going to see them. It's going to be great. It's this techno show. They're super fun. And
excellent.
Yeah, heard on Something Wonderful.
You know, there's so many ways that WORT reaches into the rest of our lives to benefit, mm-hmm, just like that. There's so many concerts that we hear about because of WORT, so many lectures and activist events that impact our community because of WORT. And if you also appreciate that, call in now, 256-2001, to show your support to continue that wonderful benefit that you get on the airwaves, but also out in the world because of the work of WORT. There are so many volunteers that support the station and a small number of staff. There are several things that we are looking to improve here at the station. So we do have expenses for some new equipment, and it's great because we're updating it, but we also need your help to do that. 256-2001 to call in now. Also, special thanks to Glass Nickel for their support of the station. And you'll want to talk to Phil and Katya, our wonderful phone answerers.
Mm-hmm, they are great.
Yeah. Thank you so much. 256-2001.
All right, and we will go right back over to the Access Hour.
Thank you. This is Dr. Katie Hilst and Dr. Laura Purdy with Journeys Home Pet Euthanasia. We are a mobile-only veterinary service that offers in-home pet euthanasia. And now I'd like to transition to talking a little bit about the emotions of pet loss and grief. Losing a pet is a difficult experience. Pets are a constant presence in our lives, and we form strong, deep, and emotional bonds with them. Our pets are there for us, happy to see us, rely and depend on us, and form enduring attachments with us. The grief we feel when we lose a pet is just as real and valid as the grief we feel when we lose a human friend. The stages of grief identified by Austrian physician Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, MD, are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, and recovery. Grief may start before the pet we love has passed away. Anticipatory grief starts when a pet is diagnosed with a terminal condition. This grief may begin with denial, not believing that your pet is ill and thinking that there must be a mistake. Then anger that your pet is ill, or perhaps anger at the cost of treatment, financial cost in terms of medications or medical interventions, cost in terms of time spent administering treatments, or anger at the physical cost treatments take on your pet. Anticipatory grief may go through bargaining, depression, and acceptance stages as well. The recovery stage is usually delayed until after the loss of the pet. We may face the loss of a pet without knowing what happened to them. A pet who has gone missing can be difficult to grieve, and acceptance and recovery are particularly difficult without knowing whether they are alive or dead. We have a special relationship with a pet who has carried us through other losses in our lives that will make their death more painful to us. Losing other family or friends, or even multiple loved ones in our lives, can result in a wave of grief crashing over us when our pet dies. We may be the caretaker of a pet who is originally the pet of a friend or family member who has passed away. The death of this last link pet can trigger combined grief over the loss of the pet, the loss of the pet's beloved departed owner. Our pet may have helped us cope with a difficult time in our lives, divorce, job loss, financial loss, physical loss, that will make their absence in our lives more painful. Emotions accompanying pet loss are wide and varied. We expect to feel pain and sadness at the loss of a pet. It is very common to feel relief at the death of a pet because the death means an end to pain and suffering for the pet, and oftentimes the end of a burden of care. The burden of care includes the physical and financial aspects of caring for an ill pet, but also the emotional aspects of caring for a ill pet. The worrying about their comfort, trying to keep them pain-free, eating, hydrated, and happy is constant. We may feel that we suddenly have too much time on our hands. We have, for years, planned our day around feeding, walking, playing, and caring for our pets, and now that extra time in our day may feel empty. But grief over a loss is necessary to help us heal. The sadness we feel is a direct result of the love we felt for our pet. Without that love, there would be no sadness about the loss. Mourning the loss of a pet helps us acknowledge the pet is gone and helps us get to the place where we can remember the joy of their life with us. Every pet owner has their own grief journey to walk. We each have our own feelings, problems, and therefore we grieve in different ways. There is no one right way or time frame to grieve the loss of a pet. Talking to other pet owners and caring professionals through Pet Loss Support Group can help you work through your grief and heal. And we're lucky in Madison, we have a pet loss support group at Memorial Pet Services that meets twice a month and is free for anyone that's lost a pet and would like to attend.
Perfect, Katie. So kind of a good segue into a question that we just had from someone that called in. And again, if you would like to give us a call, we have a few moments here and the phone number is 608-256-2001. So this question is, what are your thoughts on adopting a new pet shortly after your pet passes away? So certainly, as Dr. Katie mentioned, the grieving process, it's unique to everyone, and how they transition through various aspects of grief is going to vary. I don't know, Katie, if you have any specific insight into, this sort of concept.
So I do, and I just recently have adopted a new wonderful little dog that is with my son right now, being dog sat. But in general, you don't want to rush to get a new pet. You want to take the time to grieve the pet that you lost. And you need to remember that the new pet is not a replacement for the pet you lost. So they will have completely different personalities, different behaviors, a different energy level. You want to enjoy your new pet and love them for who they are and not who you want them to be. And you need to make sure you involve your family members in the decision, because some family members may not be ready to get a new pet, but others really may want to. And then if you have multiple pets, you may want to consider the needs of the pets that you still have. They need to grieve too, and they may not, you know, accept maybe a new puppy or kitten in the place of the elderly pet that they lost. And then you want to consider your needs and living situation too. Do you have enough time and energy to house train a new pet? Do you have an accessible, safe yard for a dog? Or is your living space safe for a cat? Will you be traveling or moving soon? And some people want to consider getting a new pet before they lose the pet that they have. And that may be years prior to an anticipated loss. But I have known families that have had a middle-aged to older pet that have purposely gone out and adopted a young pet so that they would have another pet with them after the loss of their first pet. I will have to say our new dog, Bo, has been just such a blessing. And he came into our lives unexpectedly, but he's really filled a spot in both my heart and my husband's heart, and we're certainly blessed to have him and so happy that he's in our lives.
Perfect. I was hoping, Katie, you would chime in on that, because I know Bo came along, I think, at the right time for you guys, certainly.
And I just want to say a quick shout out to Dr. Joy at Madison Veterinary Specialist. Bo had neck surgery, and she did that, and he is recovering beautifully. And it was sort of a scary time for us when he wasn't feeling well. So I feel like I'm sort of freshly reacquainted with people's worry, concern, and grief over pets.
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely, we have an amazing community of pet lovers, veterinarians, and like Katie alluded to in the Pet Loss Resource Center, pet loss resources as well in the community for anyone that needs that. So I think I may just spend a couple of moments talking a little bit about memorializing our pets in bereavement here. Kind of towards the end of our talk. So Dr. Katie talked a lot about some aspects of grief, and very similarly, bereavement, it's that period of loss that is directly after the loss of a loved one. There are certainly many aspects to bereavement, but essentially it comes down to helping us acknowledge that loss, adapting to the loss, and helping us move forward with our life in this new changed world that we have without our pet. So certainly for those three aspects, there are many different ways that we can do all three of those things. Acknowledging the loss, I've seen a lot of different ways people have memorialized their pets, whether it's through art, whether it's through a trip, a routine, telling stories to keep their memory alive. All of those are acknowledging that loss, and helping to keep that memory alive. We also really have to adapt to that loss. As Katie talked about, they are such a huge part of our day-to-day routines that we have. So trying to come up with that new sort of routine to our life, adapt to what our life is going to look like without them, is a huge part of that bereavement. And then finally, moving forward is something that we still have to do when we've lost a beloved pet. By loving a pet and losing a pet, it's part of what makes our life whole. It's what gives color to our life. And so we can help ourselves by moving forward and reaching out to others in the community. So in addition to the Pet Loss Resource Center, I also want to mention once a year we do have a Remembering Our Pets event. We actually just had it on September 8th. It's a chance for anyone in the pet loss community to be able to come out, be present with others who have lost a pet, tell their stories, share those memories, and be with others who really understand the loss in kind of the same way. So definitely look for that event in the future. We normally hold it in September.
And so Dr. Laura and I would just like to say thank you for joining us this hour, and go home and hug your pet.
Thank you so much to Dr. Laura and Dr. Katie. And speaking of pets, during our pledge drive, you can call in at 608-256-2001. For a $40 donation, you can get a wart bandana for your human or furry friend, which would be nice. And I might actually get that for my little pup Morty at home. Oh, new pledge?
We have a fabulous new pledger, Marina Drake. Thank you so much. We appreciate your pledge and support of WORT. You can join Marina and Ken and Jake and Ellis by calling in now 256-2001 to support WORT.
That's right. And what else do we have that would be so fun to gain from donating to WORT?
We have really great pledge gifts. It's true.
Oh, we've got a WORT backpack.
That's really nice. I've seen
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a navy with an orange WORT Tower imprint. That's really cool. And for somebody a little daring, that's $120.
For sure. We've got some generous donors out there.
We do.
We also have some WORT headphones for our donors, and that is at the $180 level, which is fabulous.
I bet those are awesome headphones, too.
Me too.
I mean, those are going to be like radio station studio grade headphones. They are worth the donation.
Definitely. Just like WORT is absolutely worth your donation. 608-256-2001 for our fabulous grade of music and news that you get here at the station. At the $40 level, we also have a really lovely wart bandana.
Yeah,
it's a red paisley. I have an old purple one, and it's really quite sturdy, so I can recommend the bandanas.
For humans or for pets.
Yeah, super cute. And you always, always, of course, get the news and the lovely music and specific programming that you don't find anywhere else. Continued on for your pledge, whether or not you take a pledge gift. And you can also pledge online, wortfm.org.
All right. We got a few more minutes left in the access hour here for you to call in and support us before we pass it on to Ryan Parks, who will be in a little bit here. Again, I know we've said this over and over again, 608-256-2001. We are powered by volunteers and a small staff. We do have some expenses. Although our staff and volunteers are incredibly talented, a few were working very hard on the board I've been using this hour. Part of it went down, and with the help of three people, it was put back together again.
We work very hard with the resources of skill, time, and money we've got. Thank you to those volunteers and all other WORT volunteers for helping our small staff do the most we possibly can. 72% of the money that supports WORT comes from listeners just like you. Calling in now, 256-2001, to be a part of that large percentage of our support and how the station operates. And then so much of it goes to programming and production, 65%.
Yeah, and like I said, when you come into WORT, which if you do apply for an access hour, it does include a fun little tour. You can see everything that we work with here, but we are very grassroots. Our vinyl and CD collection grows with donations, and it is very impressive. Actually, half of what you see up here is only half of the collection. Much of it is in storage because we don't have enough room. And we keep it in the best condition we can. We have a space in the back for bands to come in and play live shows.
Yeah.
Like, we cater to as many needs as we possibly can for the Madison public who helps keep us going.
That's right. There's definitely been some really fabulous live coverage of events that we do remote shows for sometimes too. That's quite a bit of work, and it's so nice to be able to, if you can't make it to the event, be able to listen at home to that live band or to that, you know, press coverage that's happening at an announcement of a politician, something like that. It's really, really nice to be able to go out into the community, out of the station, that our staff and volunteers also pursue specifically for you, the listener. 256-2001, call in now.
And thank you so much for tuning in to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
You've been listening to the Access Hour. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not necessarily represent those of the station's board of directors, staff, or programmers. Please remember that this show relies on your ideas. You can submit your idea by clicking on Sign Up to Host an Access Hour in the WORT website. The Access Hour is anything you want it to be.
Bela Fleck, Zakir Hussain, and Edgar Meyer at Shannon Hall in the Wisconsin Union Theater on Thursday, October 10th. Three masterful genre benders and the leading virtuosos on their respective instruments, Bela Fleck, Zakir Hussain, and Edgar Meyer move with ease among the worlds of classical, bluegrass, and world music. Bela Fleck is a Grammy Award-winning banjoist and founding member of the legendary bluegrass and jazz fusion group Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Zakir Hussain, a classical tabla virtuoso of the highest order, has established himself as one of the leading percussionists in the world. Composer and double bass player Edgar Meyer provides the rhythmic backbone to the trio. That's Bela Fleck, Zakir Hussain, and Edgar Meyer at Shannon Hall in the Wisconsin Union Theater on Thursday, October 10th. You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.